But Lady Gaga had it right. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender life, we're on the right track, baby. We are born to survive.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. My name is Tom, I am your host, and on today's show we bring back as guest co-hosts two amazing women who have shared with us previously on other episodes of our show. I'll start with the first one, sitting to my left.
Hi, I'm Heather Lee.
Yes, queen. And the other one on my right.
Hi, I'm Sarah Taran.
And of course, I cannot forget my partners in crime. Sitting in studio with me is...
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And joining us all the way from Germany is our beloved birthday boy, ladies and gentlemen.
So good to be back with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to The Dish. What did you say, Chris?
How was it?
Yeah, no, the delay didn't let you do it, but good try.
You know, so, I love the delay, though. I really, really do.
I think it's great. Seriously.
Well, what do you expect? I'm 4,000 miles away from home.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's... What?
Whether you're 4,000 miles away or not, there's always a slight delay with you. So it's actually perfect.
Yeah. You know what? You're a towel.
You're a towel.
Well, one thing is for certain, Christopher, we do miss you, and we're super excited to have you back next week with us for our live episode that we're going to be doing. We're super excited about that. So before we kick off the show, let's get right into our cocktail, because that's important, right? Because we have to drink. So today, on today's episode, we're doing a classic cocktail.
Beer!
No.
Chris, no. Are you drinking beer?
I am.
Do you want to plug your beer before I plug our cocktail?
Sure. I'm drinking Paulaner Hennessy beer.
Okay.
And I'm also drinking Jim Beam, and it's way cheaper out here.
Oh, I'm sure. You're drinking everything you possibly can before you come back to the States. We get it.
I'm having bourbon because Tommy couldn't stop me.
Yeah, just don't fall asleep in the parking lot of a hotel.
Or a gas station.
But I feel like it's in Germany. Wouldn't it be like a hostel?
No.
He left his dick at a hostel, but that's a story for a later date.
Excited. It was a hotel.
No, the other day I was... Well, actually, we were supposed to plug the cocktail, but the other day I was like, Chris, can you please send me some dick pics? Because I got a new phone and I lost all the ones that he sent me previously. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I left my dick at the last hotel I was at. I was like... Leave that somewhere. That's not something you could just leave somewhere.
I feel like lesbians probably leave it.
Wanda Sykes did.
But can you imagine, though? She did that skit. Remember where she said that women should just take their pussies off and just leave them in the closet?
Yeah, because she's going for a run at night. And she's just like, somebody jumps out of the bushes. And she's like, oh, I left it at home.
Oh, my God. That would be fantastic.
If you leave it at home with your husband and he uses and abuses it, she said, you know, all you have to do is just throw it in the dryer and you've got a tight twat.
Yeah, or if you're just really tired, you just take it off, give it to him, go to sleep.
Yeah, it's amazing. She's awesome.
This is a game changer. This is legit, mind blown right now.
We came all the way here to Gay Talk to have a straight woman and a lesbian talk about Snatch.
Mm-hmm. Well, my Snatch can come off too.
Well, I don't know if we can call what you have a Snatch.
For Chris's birthday, I took it off and sent it to Germany. It's on its way back.
You might want to throw it in the dryer when it gets back.
So, Chris, can you tell us how was that little gift that Nick sent you?
Well, time delay,
10-second delay.
No, 6-hour delay. So it'll arrive right after I leave. It'll be perfect.
So, in other words, you're sending it back to the U.S. unused. Touché.
Just make sure your grinder date sends it back, please. I need that at some point.
It's beautiful.
Anyway.
It's so beautiful. What are you guys drinking?
Okay, well, I was about to start plugging the cocktail before we got so sidetracked talking about Snatch. Anyway, our signature cocktail is a classic Sex on the Beach. Oh, wait a minute. We were just talking about all that craziness. So it is very appropriate. So if you're wondering what's inside of Sex on the Beach, if you're not a bartender and you've only tasted them but never knew what was inside of them, it is vodka. It Peachtree Snaps, and you can add OJ and cranberry juice. Usually you'll throw all of those ingredients into a highball glass with some ice and then top it off with a nice little orange wedge. And it is delicious, right, ladies and gentlemen?
Love it.
Love it.
I tend to throw a cherry in it.
Oh.
I think I like the word wedge.
Oh, well, wedge is a good word.
Like, I don't know why, but it made me feel good about my drink when you said wedge.
Right. I like the cherry, personally.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Can you tie a knot the stem?
Oh my God, I can totally do that.
Yeah. I'm amazing, yes.
I'm not surprised. For some reason, I am not surprised Heather can tie a knot.
So here's the interesting thing. The last time that Heather was on
the
show...
That's kind of Italian up, by the way. That's kind of Italian up. Here's the interesting thing.
Okay, here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, baby. So the last time Heather was on the show, it was quite actually the reverse. Nick was away, and Chris was in the studio. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time that Heather actually sits in the room with Nick. Actually, is it the first time you guys met?
No.
Okay.
We've run into each other a couple times.
Okay. Yes.
And also, Nick was in Cuba.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, because he was in it.
You were in Cuba?
Before the travel ban, yeah, I got back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
God for that.
And now I'm stuck out here in Germany.
On a boat. So anyway, there's so much to talk about. There's a lot of interesting things that happened this week. There's a lot of really amazing stuff we got via email, which we're going to talk about as well. Mm-hmm. But first, before we get started,
okay,
I'd like to give a shout out to our newly discovered sister podcast, to Cody and Neil. And I know I'm going to fuck up their last name. Let's see. It's Diggalorians. From Bearded Fruit. It's an LGBT podcast, and it's based out of Hartford, Connecticut. Awesome. And it's amazing. Anyway, I've been listening to them. They're great. They're very smooth and very. They're a lot different than we are. We get a little bit crazy and rambunctious. They're a little bit more of a subdued podcast, but they're amazing. So if you get a chance, give them some love, check them out. And then also to our good friends at the Idiots Radio, Andy, Ray, Mimi Fox, Shmo the Intern, and the newly inducted idiot who we had on the show, the wonderful
Drea
Richard. So,
Drea!
Yes. So Drea joined the idiots. So we just wanted to say, Drea, congratulations and good luck dealing with all of them. But I've been listening to the Idiots Radio, and Andy, little Andy over there, I think he's got a crush on Drea. He's been sweet talking her on the show.
He's got a girlfriend. He better slow his roll.
I don't know. I just think I sent him a message and I said, you know what? You and your little love affair over here. And he's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you'll find out on the show because I'm going to talk about it on Monday. And I said, I think he's got a crush on Drea. Drea, you better watch out because Andy's little sausage fingers are going to go all up in there.
Speaking of fingers, I would just advise everybody on the Idiots Radio show to stay away from Schmo's fingers because they are infected, supposedly, with some type of fungus, and he needs to get it chopped off, and he won't do it.
Ooh. Well, you know.
That makes me a little uncomfortable.
Right?
Would you want to chop off? Well, that is your honey boo.
That is my honey boo.
What the fuck did your hole do to his fingers?
I don't know. Test it out and tell me when you get back.
Avoid her hole.
Jesus.
I just think, you know what? They're an amazing show as well. They get it very crazy, and they're very, like, unpredictable, which is why I love listening to them, because sometimes I'm at work and my jaw just drops. The shit that comes out of Andy's mouth or even Ray Anthony, forget it. It's just insane.
The shit that comes out of our mouths.
Well, true, but, you know, we're not as bad as they are. Literally.
Speaking of which, not shit or things coming out of mouths. Sarah told me earlier, because we started the show with a Lady Gaga quote or lyrics, about this, like, whole thing going on Facebook about people calling Lady Gaga fat. What the fuck is that?
It actually, as, like, a thicker girl who's very proud of my body, it makes me unbelievably sick that in 2017 we could body shame someone as, like, amazing and just gifted as that woman. Like, it makes me sick.
It's crazy. Well, she was not fat. She looks perfect.
She's size of my leg. So
you gotta remember that, you know, she had this harness on that goes over her costume so that she could, you know, rappel and hang in the air like she was. So that adds a little bit of inches on the waist.
Yeah, but did you see that, like, afterwards when she had the cute sparkly pants on and the midriff, and then that, I mean, my God, she was
hot. She looked amazing. Perfect.
Amazing. Listen, I would love to look like that.
They're like taking these Snapchats and of course are like these little snap photos. And of course she's human. She has skin, and I don't care how skinny you are, when you are bellowed over or you have tight, I'm going to guess that those glitter pants did not breathe in any way, shape or form of the word. You're going to have a little bit of skin that hangs over. Like, really?
She looked amazing.
She looked amazing.
She looked amazing.
And absolutely her performance amazing. Was amazing.
Well, I mean, they were also criticizing her performance online. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, you know, they were like, Katy Perry was better. Or Beyonce was way better. And I'm like, listen, they're all gifted women. And they all bring something different to the table. What Gaga did yesterday was amazing. Because she did a subliminal.
Oh, the whole thing.
It was a subliminal political stance. It was opening, you know, with God Bless America and then jumping into, you know, all the other songs that she did, including Born This Way, was a statement.
Yeah.
Was huge.
She made a statement.
Huge.
Yeah.
And Mike Pence was there.
Yeah.
The vice president of the United States was in the audience too.
Ivanka Trump tweeted that it was an amazing performance.
You know, out of all the Trumps, I think Ivanka's the only one that I like best.
Well, I think I saw something where she didn't she in some way stop an anti-LGBT bill from happening or is trying to push for that, you know?
Well, supposedly there's something wrong going online on Facebook that, you know, Bianca and her husband, whatever his name, Kushner, had something to do with Trump not going through and pushing through the anti-LGBT initiatives that he wanted to sign, which basically rolled back a lot of the protections that Obama put in place for anyone that was employing people or getting contracts from the federal government.
Right.
So that's what basically that was all about. But at this point, we can't confirm that.
Yeah, and we don't know if it's actually still going to get signed or not. So.
And if it's coming out of Spicer's mouth, you know, you can't believe anything that comes out of that mouth.
A fucking mess. And, you know, me being 4,000 miles away, I'm hearing a lot of news, but I'm not getting the full picture of everything.
Yeah, Spicer needs a slicer for his tongue.
Did anybody see Melissa McCarthy on SNL?
Watched that on my way here. Almost, I'm pretty sure I killed a couple of animals on the way here because I was laughing so hard at her depiction. Like when she's picking up like the knot, I almost died. And then when she did the moose and lambs, and she picked up like lamb chop and a moose, I was dead in my car. Couldn't handle it. Peed everywhere. I mean,
the reality of the situation is. She's so right, though. He's like, horrible. He can't speak.
Nail on head.
Spicer's shit.
My God.
That was fantastic.
I know.
Absolutely fantastic.
You know, and then there's also news, too, that Trump supposedly now is going to the UK. And they have literally said the Speaker of the House there, I think they call him the
Speaker of the House?
No, I don't think it's a Speaker of the House. It's different.
I know what you're saying.
Because they call it the House of Commons. But anyway, he will not be addressing the House of Commons at all. He will not be going to address either the House of Lords or Commons when he goes there like Theresa May came and did here. They're not going to give him that privilege. And I'm super happy.
Thank God.
That that's not going to happen because
But they have they get up and they argue. I mean, it is
so funny to
when they sit there and they like totally. Why can't we have him talk and then have the commoners rip him a new one?
I would. Oh my God! Can you imagine the Twitter storm afterward?
Mm-hmm.
These fucking Brits. And I'm like, oh, you know what, Trump? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Seriously,
he went to Flint, Michigan. Did you see that?
They should have left them there drinking all that water.
Wait a second. Who?
Flint, Michigan?
No, but Trump went to Flint? Did he really?
Mm-hmm. You know what kills me is, here you are, you want to spend $20 billion to build a wall that we don't even need, yet these people, for 4 years now, they're going on their fourth year.
Is it four?
Three going into the fourth one.
Wow.
Without water, without drinkable water. They're still bringing in water in gallons and bottled water because these people can't even drink their own water.
And that is very sad because this is the United States. It's not like it's Mexico.
Or Russia or any of those countries and where the government takes. Well, I can't say that about Mexico, but I can't
Starbucks
say that about Russia.
Just opened up down the street. Yeah. Like it makes me sick.
Okay, but so he showed up there.
And did
and
what?
He was supposed to give a speech. Well, he wanted to, I guess he was being toured around and, you know, assessing the situation or what
he was what have you. With new presidencies, they walk around and
but
take him to different places.
He got up, so he was invited to speak at this, a pastor invited him to speak at, I think it was her congregation, to talk about the issue at hand, which is the water crisis. And instead, he started, and she was very specific. She's like, you need to talk about this. I don't want
Wasn't
you to talk about anything.
Wasn't this the one that told him she had to get off? He had to leave?
Hold on. So she was very specific, and she was like, we were talking about this. We're not talking about this. We need to talk about what is actually the issue and what you're going to do about it. And he started off the whole thing with Hillary's bullshit, you know, she's not great, this and that, and like how great he is and all this stuff. And she literally got on stage, walked up to him. She didn't call him President Trump. She said, Mr. Trump,
yes.
We talked about this. Can you please get to the issue at hand? And he was like, oh, okay. And then he went out, then he went after her on Twitter.
But he did the same thing during the primaries. And again, the pastor stopped him and said, no, we can't do this here because this is not what this house is for.
Mm-hmm.
You came here to address the same thing happened during the primaries. The very same thing in Flint, Michigan.
I'm still just in shock that that man is the president of the United States.
We have to come to the realization that we're going to have to deal with that either until he either gets impeached, gets assassinated, dies, or loses a term and another president is elected.
It's just, to me, it's so, I can't fathom the fact that this actually happened. When I was watching the ballots and everything, like I can't even verbalize like how I genuinely feel about it. Like it makes me sad just for us as the United States. Like it makes me so sad.
Then you need to organize. I mean, people that are angry. I mean, everybody
and it's happening.
Yeah, no, and that's good.
Is.
But I'm
it
just
is.
Saying that people were disenfranchised, very angry. The middle of America is the ones that really elected him. It's not the people on the coast. And so if you really are very upset about it, organize. There are so many people that want to do something and change it. And you can. Your vote counts. Work on it. I know there's a lot of grassroots efforts here in New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2 years, you know, if we are able to get more people into the House of Representatives and in the Senate, and then we can stop them.
We have 35 seats in the House of Representatives that are going up during this midterm election and 18 Senate seats.
The biggest issue, though, right now is the fact that they renegotiate all of the
reorganize
votes. Gerrymandering. Because they reorganized all of the voting districts, and that's what's really fucking us right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans literally had all this research and redid all of these districts in their favor. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see a House and that's why you see a Senate that is so Republican. Thank you. Held.
Oh my God, you're speaking cursive already.
I know. Jesus. Oh. What, Chris?
Well, look at this way. I'm 4,000 miles away from home.
Are you sure?
Watching TV. Yeah, pretty sure. And I'm watching TV in a language that I do not understand completely. But I was watching this program and I saw Trump's face come up. And they were talking about how fearful they were for Trump having access to the nuclear football.
Mm-hmm.
Being out here and just seeing how fearful people were for Trump having his hands on the nuclear codes, it's been fucking mind-blowing. It's been mind-blowing. I thought I could escape it, but no. It's just as fearsome out here as it is back home in the States.
Well, that's, you know, you, what brings comfort to me is that, you know, although he's been this type of president that all he does is issue executive orders, it's good to see that our judicial system is pushing back and that our elected officials are going out of their way. Lawyers, I mean, when he instituted this ban, immediately, I mean, the same, not even an hour after, people just started rushing into these airports and causing this huge scene. You had lawyers, you had members of Congress going right to the airport and saying,
right,
how can we help?
Right. But it's not to say anything against the executive orders. I mean, our past beloved president, Barack Obama, he put forward many executive orders, but it's just Donald Trump is putting forward executive orders that are unconstitutional.
Well, what scares me, I think, the most about that situation is that I think that people, out of fear, react. And I think that people are genuinely scared right now. But what scares me even more is that, say, President Trump does get assassinated, and we have Michael Pence.
Pence is worse.
That literally frightens me to my core.
Here's what I have to say about that. I prefer Pence in the office than I do Donald Trump. Why?
Here's
my logic. Donald Trump is a loose cannon. You can't control what comes out of his mouth.
But beyond what comes out of his mouth, nuclear codes. You can't control him in general. He's literally unhinged.
Yes, yeah, Pence has been in government for many years. Pence knows how to restrain himself. Pence is going to know how to deal with people. Pence is going to be able to be
shocked.
I'm not done yet. Pence can also be diplomatic. He can talk to other world leaders in a way that can be educated. However, then you've got the flip side of Pence that's very religious, and he's using religion to inflict fear on the gay community, on children, with conversion therapy and shock therapy and craziness. But when it comes to government things, at least they can keep him in check, because he's not going to go on Twitter and causes craziness, world hysteria on Twitter, because that's not the type of person that he is.
Right.
He's not going to go on Twitter. Instead, he is going to shock my children or my children's children. Like,
he's going to go to Congress. He's going to go and work with the government. That's what he's used to doing, even in his own state. Yeah, the man is fucking crazy with the shit that he comes up with, and trying to take women's rights away, and trying to say that the LGBT community and kids can be changed with shock therapy.
But what kind of man has never, quote, met a gay person?
He's met many, and they've been up his asshole.
I was going to say, but they were like saying, oh, he doesn't. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. That's, you know, what, but you were, you know, you were saying the Christian, like, he was all about his Christian lifestyle and imposing mm-hmm. that on everybody else. Meanwhile, the Pope is like, Christians should apologize to the gays.
Please, right. And I love that. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I love that the Pope is actually so moving forward and is, you know, embracing the change and stuff like that. And I actually do go to church with my sister and her husband and my niece and nephew. And even our, you know, our congregation, like, they are very open to it. And it's nice. I'm, you know, Roman Catholic, and it's nice to see them starting to embrace it and to see the Pope start to embrace it. So I just feel differently than Tommy about my Pence.
I am not in any way, shape, or form enamored with Pence. I just know that Pence, as a politician,
he is a politician.
A different caliber of person than Donald Trump is.
Donald Trump is an entertainer. Yes. That's right. What it comes down to. And so he then sits there and on Twitter tweets crap because he's more worried. I think he really thought that this was going to be like The Apprentice.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Obama also tweeted, and Obama and Michelle were also, you know, entertainers as well.
But
no, we when just you agree look at the things that they did.
When you look at Obama, Obama didn't have a Twitter account when he went into the office. They created one for him. And another thing, too, is that the people that created that account managed it for him. And the only time that they would tweet, they would actually put BO for Barack Obama or MO for Michelle Obama on each tweet, so that you know that it came directly from them.
I'm not saying that Trump isn't psychotic on his Twitter.
Twitter wasn't around 8 years ago. Also, you have to imagine or realize that technology has grown so much. So therefore, tweeting. I mean, you remember he came in with BlackBerry. Remember that was the big thing.
Like,
he had to give up his BlackBerry.
Yeah, I remember that.
And here is this man, and he's tweeting from his own personal Android phone, and they haven't taken it away from him.
Yeah, well, that's insane to me.
But so, I mean, I'm just so happy right now that, you know what, he's going to go to the UK and they're going to look at him and say, yeah, you're not even going to get to speak or address our House of Commons or the House of Lords. And we're okay with that.
I didn't even know that he was going to the UK. So this very fascinating to me.
There's this huge thing right now in where they literally had a conference.
Has like the Queen or like any of them like gotten involved and said anything, or is it just like the more Queen the government and,
the Queen
Prime
was
Minister?
Like,
I didn't even know.
I do not want to be forced to meet with this man.
Oh my God! Yes.
So there are protesters.
Yes.
There are protesters right now that said if Donald Trump goes to England and he lands in London, that there are protesters that will block every single road that leads to Buckingham Palace to prevent him from getting to the Queen.
Oh my God, so when is he going to figure this out? Because he's such a narcissist and he wants to be loved. Did you see what Howard Stern, who's friends with him, said? That he thinks this is the worst thing, that Trump will probably have a mental breakdown because he wants to be loved.
And nobody wants to love him.
No, because
it's not even his wife.
Well,
hello.
Well, speaking of the Queen, though, just to let you know, today, actually, the Queen actually became the first British monarch to celebrate her Sapphire Jubilee. She, as of today, she is the Queen of the United Kingdom, as we all know. She is celebrating her 65th year as a sovereign of that country. She is officially the world's longest living monarch. And this, of course, being her Sapphire Jubilee, she will not be celebrating it for a personal reason, which was very endearing. And I can understand why she wouldn't want to. Unfortunately, about... on the same date in 1953, her father passed away.
Right.
And she ended up becoming queen because of her father's passing. And he was 56 years old. He actually had a lung removed. And that, of course, wasn't successful. And 6 months later, he passed away.
Is it sad that I know that? Because I watched the show The Queen.
No, it's an amazing
Netflix.
Show.
I'm like obsessed with it. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm like obsessed with it.
It's awesome. It's amazing. But yeah, so today is actually her 65th anniversary, her Sapphire
That's
Jubilee.
So cool.
Can you imagine?
65 years.
65 years on the throne. She's 90 years old, by the way.
Wow.
Did I forget
yes,
to mention that?
Queen.
Chris, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
I wonder if like the Queen has like underneath like her Chanel suits. Has like a t-shirt that just says yes queen.
She definitely does.
Well, she must love
that. You know,
like I genuinely hope.
No, it actually says yes queen Trish 2020.
No. It says Mattoon Trish 2020.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to are we running together or are you going to be my first lady?
No, you're going to be my first lady.
We already right, went I can over. Get on board with that.
I suppose I'm going to be the
we
new
went
Spicer.
Over it so many times.
She's definitely going to be the new Spicer. And we're going to have to preface everything she says with, he's bilingual.
Just, you know, French girl, stupid, just like Spicer says. Yeah.
What? Did you just call me stupid?
Not at all. This time delay is ridiculous.
I have a pit bull upstairs.
I was going to say, I don't know what's going on upstairs, but it sounds like someone is having a great time.
I'm not upstairs. I promise all of our listeners, I really am in Germany.
Right?
I'm not upstairs.
Chris, are you secretly upstairs? I miss you. Can't
it
wait for
might
you to come
be.
Home.
It might be.
They're getting freaky upstairs.
No, that's the dog. It's a pit bull.
One dog.
Yes.
Sounds like 97, right?
So anyway, so listen, we have to keep going. So Chris, we have some stuff that we need to talk about. We got some emails from a couple of subscribers.
We did.
Do we want to jump into Angels and Assholes before we do that?
Well, why don't we talk about one email, Angels and Assholes, and come back with another one?
Okay, we can do that. All right, so
can I take the first one?
Is that the one for you?
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, that's not the one for me. That's, whatever. I'm just going to start talking. So anyway... So, a gentleman, we're going to call him Albert, he found our podcast. This is his email to us, and I think it's interesting, and I think it'll be a good conversation piece, so here we go.
It was beautiful.
I found your podcast a little over a month ago, and I just finished binge listening to the show. Now that I'm caught up, I'm going to miss listening to you every day on my way to and from work, and will anxiously await Tuesdays. I live in Queens and work in Bridgeport, so I listen to about 1.5 podcasts a day. You guys are amazing. I laugh, I cry, and I learn something new every day. I'm just shy of turning 60, and I've been married for 36 years. I told my wife over 10 years ago that I was gay. She accepted it, and we both decided to stay together. No one else knows. We have a great relationship, although there are times that I wish I left her. But I love her so much, and it was my choice, and it was, I love her so much, that was my choice I made and committed to it. I would love to hear a show that is more geared towards men in my situation, as I'm sure there are plenty. Thank you so much for letting me find a happy place in the world, even if it's only for a few hours a day on my way to work. Keep up the good work. So, we got this email. Immediately, I'm crying.
I'm fighting back. Yeah. I'm like, that is just so sweet.
So, I know. So, I'm crying. I text the group. Tom texts directly after I text. And we're both like, we're crying right now. Did you see the email? Like, oh my God.
And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is, okay, you know, when Nick and I and Chris and Paul, because Paul Anthony used to be also a part of the show, when we started this, our goal was that we were going to sit around a table and we were going to have cocktails and just talk about what's going on in our lives or in the news. And really, we didn't expect anything of it. We just said, okay, we'll throw it out there. And if someone listens to it, yay. If someone doesn't, then you know what? We're okay. We're still having a good time. And that's what it's all about. To get messages from our listeners like this and letting us know that sometimes what I think as just us being ridiculous is how that ridiculousness is just so impactful to them.
And it's bringing some type of light or life into their life. It's amazing.
It just makes me feel good.
Yeah.
As it should. That's amazing.
You know, and you know, I was really looking, and I was thinking really hard. I was sitting at work today at my daytime job, and I'm sitting to myself. Well, I'm sitting there by myself thinking to myself, and I'm saying, what would it be like to spend 36 years next to someone and wanting to be with someone else, but
loving that person with all of your heart.
Loving that person so much that you decide to give up your desire, your physical desire, to be with someone who you've connected with on an emotional level.
Right.
That, my friend, which, by the way, his real name is not Albert, but we changed this name only because we wanted to protect his identity. What I will say to you is this, Albert, is your emotional connection will be more significant than any physical relationship you will ever have. And yes, you are a man and you need that. And that is something that even women need. You need that physical connection, but you have something so important. Not only have you spent 35 years with this individual, she, from what it sounds like, is your soulmate. And you know what? And as long as you guys are truth, hold that truth to each other, that you know who each other is and you're okay with that, hold on to that, because guess what? She's going to be around for life.
I kind of wonder if maybe he's ever talked to her about, and this sounds a little harsh, but like maybe an open relationship.
I think that's exactly what they need to do.
And that's what I was about to say, because you don't know.
Have a conversation about it. You never know.
Because that email does not say that, yes, he decided to stay with her, but they may have, if after 35 years, they have, you know, they talked and stuff. So they may have an open relationship. We don't know. He didn't state that.
It just feels to me, I mean, the way he's saying, you know, thank you for giving me that hour and a half to find this place in the world. You know, I feel like he has committed to this relationship in a way where he's not experiencing men sexually. And
I kind of picked up on that.
There's a lot of people within where I am that, they're heterosexual, and then they're cross-dressers. And right. So once they become their alternative ego, they experience, like, they would say that they're heterosexual. However, they do have gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mind thing. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they're able to. So who's to say that maybe this individual after 35 years, I mean, after 35 years, I was married for 20. I mean, you know somebody, you communicate, you know, you just,
he's 60. He's been with her for more than half of his life.
Correct.
You know somebody in a way that you you can't even describe.
And if you love each other, I mean, I'm assuming that it's an assumption, but if she loves him and he loves her and if she's open or whatever, she would be like, yeah, if you want to go off and try or experience or whatever, I love you. Just come back to me. You know right. what I'm saying? So, I mean, a lot of people nowadays are very open and they're more willing to talk and be, you know, open. I guess, as I keep repeating them.
You know, I find comfort in the fact that knowing that he has had the conversation with his wife.
Yeah.
Because there are many people that go through their entire lives hiding.
Honestly, right. I wish he left us a number so we could call him and say, hey, so what is going on? And get the whole scene, the whole story, and actually have a real conversation with him. Because the situation is so, I don't want to say it's sad, but it's also beautiful in a way.
I find it beautiful.
Just, yeah, it is, but it's also sad. It's beautiful because he has built this beautiful life with this probably amazing woman. But at the same time, he's neglecting his innate need or innate sexuality to be with somebody of the same sex.
That's the thing. You're assuming that. I find it hard to believe that he hasn't, if he's decided 10 years ago and he recognized that he's gay, I find it I find it hard to believe that he hasn't at least tried something.
And I'm sure that he probably has.
Yeah.
I agree with you that, you know, there's no way that you could ignore that.
Right.
I just hope that, you know, that again, the honesty that he's already bestowed on his wife still exists when that happens.
Right.
To say, hey, you know, we're moving in this direction. What do you think about this?
Because let me tell you, Albert, whether you're married or not, it's never too late to get it in.
I just want to say for a second, complete sidebar, like, Albert, coup motherfucking dose for 35 years. I struggle with a year contract at Sprint.
Like, that's so true.
I was like sweating when I signed that, thought I was signing my life away, and that's a year. So fucking kudos, bro.
Absolutely.
Because I can't even imagine.
Hey, Chris, what are your thoughts on the matter?
No, I think that, I know many people that would come to the bar that actual situation. And no, I think it's healthy that they discuss it and they've been open about it for so long. I would definitely recommend at that point, in my opinion, open relationship is what they would both need. In my opinion, you know, I think they have a lot to offer one another, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm 25 now, but but I still understand, you know, everyone has a sexual drive. So I think at the end of the day, they will still need something like that. But I think it's beautiful that they can still hold that friendship, that like complete friendship. And I wish them both the absolute best. But I think that, an open relationship at that point would be ideal in my opinion.
Well, as the oldest person here.
Well, we don't know how old Tommy is. That's quite
debatable.
Yes, trust me.
We don't know how
I am the oldest one here. So I'm going to say something.
I'll shut up now.
Yeah, no, I'm older. I was just going to say that. I hate to break it to you, but when you get older, your sex drive does stop. It's not like it was when you were in your 20s. By the time you're in your 40s, close to your 50s, it's not the driving force. You're actually more interested in cuddling, being with somebody that understands you, and stuff like that. It's not the go out and conquer and do whatever. So when you're in your 60s, I'm assuming, because I'm not there yet, that it's still like once in a while, yes, you'll want to have sex, but it's not the driving force
behind everything. Right.
Right.
And I get that completely. But at the same time,
that's so different for men, though.
No, trust me. Okay. As a person that is now single and on the
prowl,
I had this reality check, which is last time I was out, it was when I was in my 20s. I'm now in my 40s. So 20 years have gone. And I can tell you that the men are not like they were in their 20s and in their 40s. I heard that
women are actually more juiced up
hell
as they get older.
It must be gay men then, because
I have heard that older women get more revved up and more charged.
I think it's right before we get menopause. We have like this huge, like, oh my God, it's going to stop and I'm like, I want it. Whereas like in your 20s.
Throw them in there. Hot dogs in the hallway. Let's go. Like,
I want it. I want it now.
Here I am 31 and I'll settle for a burrito over any day.
Like, I'm the same way. It's so bad.
We're flinging hot dogs across the room.
And I'm good.
Go 20 years, okay?
No, but they're, you know, just to jump on to that a little bit, even if the sex wanes as you age, there is something to be said, whether it's friendship, physical intimacy, because I feel like that's what he has with this person, mm-hmm. or if it's me being naked with my partner, whether we're having sex or not, cuddling in bed, mm-hmm. is so intimate. And for me, kissing is more intimate than the act of being penetrated by a man. Mm-hmm. So kissing a man versus kissing a woman to me is a huge difference. So if I were to be able to lay in bed with my partner for the rest of my life, which is a man, kissing them, awesome. It would be much more fulfilling to me than if I was in bed with my best girlfriend, Britt, kissing her,
right.
and sharing my life with her. Not that I don't love her. There's a difference to it.
You're saying when we were in Florida, we shared those four beautiful nights in the same room.
You're done.
And I woke up. I woke up in your boy shorts. I'm like, what's wrong with these?
That meant nothing to you. No, I mean, my girlfriend's 22 years old, and like I mentioned, I'm 31, and I feel like I'm way more sexual than she is, mm-hmm. and she's 22 years old. Like, don't get me wrong, she's phenomenal in bed. I love her for that, but. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I feel like it all depends. It's all situational.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think we should.
I'm with, you know, my boyfriend is 10 years older than me, and I can also.
You got one of those now?
Your boyfriend, huh?
Yeah. I have a boyfriend. I have a boyfriend. Here, okay. Yeah.
Well, did he know about your Grindr date last night?
Oh my God, stop. You're gonna get him in trouble for nothing. We're kidding. Hey, listen, we need to go into our first break.
I'm saying this. Yeah, I downloaded Grindr when I came. What?
All we got to hear was I downloaded Grindr when I got here, and then it completely cut off. Perfect timing.
You're cutting off on us.
I downloaded Grindr again.
You're cutting
to my guest house, and
we're getting like the best parts of this. Okay. Grindr, right. Guest house.
Yeah.
With the candlestick.
Hot dog hallway. No, I'm going to clarify. So Chris downloaded Grindr when he went over to Germany in order to meet other LGBT people and develop relationships. And he actually has met some people. And he was very clear on his profile saying, I have a boyfriend. I'm new to the area. I just want to meet other LGBTQ members and, you know, learn about your culture. And he actually met somebody who seems like a nice guy who they're exchanging. He's teaching him English and the other gentleman is teaching him German. So it's actually pretty cool.
When I see a girl on Tinder that says just here for friends, it just makes me want to fuck them even more.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that would
I yes. Yes.
I have yet to go on Tinder.
It's like a challenge to me. I play this game called Finding Tinderella and I have till midnight to fuck her. It's a sick little game I play. Well, not anymore. Just kidding. I have a girlfriend. Not anymore.
Let's get back on Tinderella after the break. We need to take a break. We need to go jump into Angels and Assholes. And then when we come back, we have a lot more to talk about. So I'm going to give Trish some love.
Thank you, Boo Boo.
Yes. Hold on 1 second. I got to find it.
Something about this music. Just
yes. So go ahead, baby.
All right. So the following senator from the state of Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, Democrat, voted yes to common sense gun reform. We thank you for your vote and you get claps. Now, the other senator, on the other hand, from the same fucking state, delay. Ron Johnson, Republican, voted no to common sense gun reform, and for his inaction, we label him an asshole.
Thank you.
Asshole.
I love it, Chris. I love it. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to dedicate this episode to Geraldo Ortiz Jimenez. He was 35 years old. Geraldo, the Orlando Sentinel reported that Geraldo was known for being humble, simple, and charismatic. Again, as I said before, he was 25 years old, and he was visiting Orlando from Puerto Rico. To go see his idol, Selena Gomez, in concert that Friday. Sadly, on Saturday, June 12th, 2016, he became the last victim announced as being killed in the massacre that occurred at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida. We dedicate this episode to him. Again, his name is Geraldo Ortiz Jimenez. May he rest in peace. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more Dish. This is Melissa Etheridge's Pulse.
We will find the answer blowing in the wind. That everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now, when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down, if you can't kill the truth? That it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. Chris, unfortunately, we had to cut him because his sound was coming in and out. So he will be in studio with us. Actually, he will be part of our live episode when he returns, because he's coming Wednesday. We're going to do a live episode on Monday. So we won't have to deal with this intercontinental logistical
nightmare. It'll be crazy though. It's gonna be a bunch of us. It's gonna be a gaggle of gays.
Oh my god, I
just learned that like 7 months ago what a gaggle was.
Really?
And I love that word. Like, I love it.
Well, I would like to officially invite you both to come gaggle with us all the way at a Partners Cafe. So yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a hoot, and we're super excited. It's our second live episode.
Mm-hmm. I think Sarah and I could like tackle the person and we go on the microphones. What do you think?
I'm in. Listen, I'm in for anything that has to do with tackling.
It could be like WWF. You just kind of like tag people out.
Why don't we just put a microphone out to like the right of the stage, right? And then what we'll do is we'll set up chairs, we'll play music, and then whoever gets the musical chair is the one that gets on the mic for that segment.
I mean, if I'm drinking Patron, I will steal chairs. I will steal microphones. I'll just run up and start screaming on the microphone. I will get my chance to talk.
I know, baby. So listen, before the break, we were discussing an email that we had gotten from one of our listeners. And obviously, you know, there was a lot of content in that email. You know, we don't want to assume. So we ask Albert, our friend Albert, well, that's what we're calling him to protect his identity, that if you want to elaborate a little bit more and give us some more information as to what exactly could benefit, you know, in your situation? What do you need? And hopefully, you know, we can find some sort of a, you know, avenue to point you into. Because
I would love to do some research, find somebody that can come on and speak to it a little bit better than I can or the group in studio can right now. Because it's something that's real. It's happening all over the place. It was a time when you couldn't come out, when you got married and you had to live your life as a heterosexual male, even if you were homosexual, something I cannot speak to. I came out loud and proud at 16, and this bitch was queening since then. So
she's still queening now.
Didn't have to stop.
No,
I was different. I didn't come out till I was 22 years old.
But she was tripping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was tripping since I was 13, girl. But
yeah, no, she's been tripping.
I didn't do that. I waited till I was older because I did come from a very Republican, very upstanding family in North Haven, Connecticut, which is very suburbs. And, you know, you weren't gay in my town. So even now, well, I mean, this was showing my age.
Oh my God.
10 years ago.
10 but, years ago.
But, she sounds but like still, she's 90.
So, yeah, I know.
But I know, but I love it. Actually, it's hard to come out. You know, that's tough.
So in a way, even though I don't know what I am. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I said to my mother at Thanksgiving, I was like, you know, Mom, I date transgender individuals. And she was like, I said, so if I bring somebody home and I introduce you to, say, Alice or Jennifer, and she's like, her first question is, do they have a penis? I'm like,
I fucking love your mother already.
I'm like, Mom, if I introduce you to them and their name is Jennifer, just say, hi, Jennifer. And she's like, but I want to know. I want to know. And I'm like, look.
So did Whitney. And look what happened to her.
I'm like, look, Mom, just take it. I'm like, if it makes you happy, I'm gay. And she was like,
if it makes you happy. Why the hell are you so sad?
No, and she was like, she couldn't wrap her mind around it. So she's 75 years old, and she was just like, you don't like penis?
I love her already. I swear, I love your mother already.
She's like,
I feel like older.
I do.
She was like, older generations have like hard times with, like, not understanding, but just mentally like breaking it down for them.
Right, because I explained. At first I said I was pansexual. And she's like,
I fucking don't know what that means. I'm so confused.
Okay, I will explain.
Pansexual.
Okay, so if I am pansexual, that means that I love the individual. Does not matter what the wrapper is. You be girl, guy, gender fluid. I don't care. I don't care what the sexual organs are or whatever. I love who you are inside. So that's what gender.
I feel like you're 75-year-old mother right now because that's so mind-blowing to me because I love vagina in or around my mouth all the time. So, like, I can't process, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's penis? So ignorant what? Of me.
I feel like I just threw up a little bit of cheese inside my mouth, but yes.
I don't think it's ignorant. I think, you know, in the past, let's just say...
I love you, Sarah.
Let's just say year and a half, 2 years, so many terms have been developed. Uh-huh. So many different demographics in our community have been developed that we, as a community, are still trying to embrace and learn. Like,
yeah,
like,
and my 75-year-old woman mother got the National Geographic where they had the glossary and the picture, and they gave it to me after it's done. It's been checkmarked and highlighted as my mother is trying to figure out, because I do the Diva Social and I mm-hmm. do the transgender things. So I've come out to them within the last 2 years. And said that this is what I do. And my mom, love her to death. My father is actually much better with it than my mom, but my mom is just like, what is cisgender? What is transgender? What do you mean pansexual? What do you mean? She's like, she got gay and lesbian like that.
Yeah.
She got.
But you know, the best part about that, though, their honesty, even though it may be abrupt and even though it may seem racist in a way, their honesty about the whole situation is just so endearing.
And they're trying. They're trying to learn.
Exactly. I would rather someone be brutally just honest and be like,
It's like they're not trying to insult you. When they speak about it, they're like, oh, you know, like, for example, I have family members.
They're just uneducated, I feel.
I have family members.
Right.
Yeah, like, I have family members that are so, like, you know, out of it. And they'll be like, oh, you know, well, I don't understand what that faggot's problem is. But they say it in a way that it's not like them being derogatory.
Yeah.
Right.
They just don't know that the word faggot is not something they're not supposed to say.
My grandmother calling a black person a Negro because they grew up and they were known as Negroes, not as blacks. You know, back in the 40s, they were Negroes.
And that was an acceptable term.
Right. And then in the 60s, they became blacks. Then in the 70s, they became African Americans. So it's kind of the same thing. So my mom was like, so are you saying you're lesbian? And I'm like, I don't know. I could be. Let me explore. Let me find out what I want to do, what I want to explore. And she just like mind blown.
Mommy, I'll write you a letter and let you know how we make out.
There's something so empowering about pansexuality, right? Because I know so many people that don't identify as gay and don't identify as bisexual. Mm-hmm. I was actually with somebody for a long time who was kind of in that limbo, and they literally just, I mean, they're very sexual, but beyond that, they love to fall in love.
Right.
And love to fall in love with somebody for being who they are.
Right.
And that's, there's so much beauty in that.
I was literally going to use the word beauty. Like, it's so beautiful. Like, absolutely beautiful to hear people that just fall in love with love and not really pay attention to the gender or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, and my girlfriend's black, and I've never dated a black girl before. So this is very new to me. And her family is very anti me being white.
Right.
Like, this is like a huge deal to them.
Right.
Like, huge. And they're not embracing to it at all. And this morning we actually got into I actually just had a meltdown because anybody that knows Sarah Taryn.
Well, honey, when they're tearing up your vagina that good,
I just had a meltdown. But something, her phone broke this morning and I couldn't reach her. And I, of course, went into this emotional state of freak out that something happened to her. And then
probably
I
texted her like 800 times in like 5 minutes.
Girl, you have no idea. Like, it's like blown up. But I like went into this like meltdown, and then I started to think, and I was like, oh my God, if something happened to her, I would never know.
Right.
Because her family legitimately does not know that I exist at all. So if something were to happen to her, like, hi, like, hi, your daughter says she loves me every day, and I would have no idea that something happened to you. So the fact that like your mom is like that embracing and trying, like, kind of makes my heart like break and happy at the exact same time, because like, she's 75 years old, but she's still trying to understand. And here's my girlfriend who's 22, and her family won't even acknowledge, number one, that she's gay, or even the fact that she's with a white girl is like, oh my God.
There's so many layers to that.
Seriously, but let me tell you, I get surprised every day. Like, for example, we got another email. Mm-hmm. The same week. This is the week of emails. It is amazing. But here is the other side of the spectrum. Okay. So let me read you this email. So it says, hey guys, I wanted to write in and say how much I really enjoy your show. I'm probably not the standard listener. I am a white, cisgender, heterosexual male. Probably not the main demographic that listens to your show. I started listening to your show after the election. I consider myself a libertarian. And I didn't support either of the two main candidates. Supporting gun rights and supporting the LGBT community isn't for everyone, but it was what I believe. After Trump won, I didn't understand why the backlash was so much vocal than it had ever been before. I try to watch news from both sides of the political spectrum, but the news is often impersonal. It was after I heard one of my dearest friends, who happens to be gay, mention that she was afraid of what was ahead, that I decided to find some, to find even more viewpoints via podcast. And I found you. And he goes on to say, I want to thank you for making such a great content and for being so authentic. I love all of you guys. Nick is my man.
Yes. No, hold on. Nick. Oh, yeah. This is my man. I thought it said main man, but it's okay.
Either way. Recognition.
I read it right. Nick is my man. Always keeping it real. Your show has helped me learn about issues that I don't always see and is well produced and enjoyable to listen to at the same time. You guys definitely have something special going on. I'm really lucky to have found you. Keep up the great work, you guys. I'll have to make the drive out to Partners and meet you one day, one of these days. I can't wait to hear about Chris's German adventures. Best, and his name was Jake. He's from Connecticut. Jake, thank you.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. A straight
man. Yes.
Just being like that says a lot about what this is, and that it's not just about focusing on gay demographic, that it is for everybody. And that's fantastic.
We obviously, our focus is to bring to light a lot of issues that affect the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. But in reality, anything that affects the LGBT community affects humans, period.
Exactly.
We are all Americans. Well, affects one small group affects the other.
You know what I find funny is that if you listen back to our episode, Kinky episode.
Yes.
I talk about my kink, and it's not really a kink. I guess it is a little bit, but I have a serious thing for straight men. I love straight men. Mm-hmm. So this guy, now we've received
several
emails, and they're generally from gay community members.
And they're always for Chris.
And the one email we get from a heterosexual person is from me, and I'm like, you have no idea what you got yourself into, Jake.
No, but here's what I have to say about it. I grew up in a world where straight men were not allowed to say things like this about a gay group. And the fact that you are so comfortable in your masculinity, in your cisgenderness, to identify with who you are, be a heterosexual man, and comment and, you know, pay some sort of, you know, say something nice about a gay group talking about gay issues. It just speaks miles and speaks highly of the type of person that you are as an individual. And if you were to ever have a wife, children, they are going to be the most lucky people in the world.
Mm-hmm. I would like to know how old he is.
It doesn't say.
Because seriously, again, we've talked about the generational mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would be interesting, like, if he's in his 20s or his 30s, he's probably more open.
I have
open.
A question. Yes. What does cisgender mean?
Okay, it is the opposite of transgender. Basically, what cisgender is a medical term that identifies, for example, you are a cisgender lesbian woman.
Yes.
Because you identify with
your biological
sex that you were assigned at birth.
So I'm a cisgender woman.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And most of my
I'm
friends
a cisgender
are...
man
right.
that happens to be gay because
educational.
I identify myself as with what I'm a man because I identify myself with my penis.
You identify your parts
with
yeah.
your biological with your
like,
biological
like for example okay. a transgender okay. person would identify themselves as a woman and would generally in most cases not want to identify themselves with their male parts if they want to be female.
Right. And so they would most go, of the people that are at my events are transgender women. I do have some transgender men, but that means that they are a man that identifies as a woman. So they're not cisgender, they're transgender.
Okay.
So it's the opposite.
I actually have a question for you, Heather. That, sure. that I'm really...
Just say
okay.
it.
So... I feel like right now I actually have a couple of very close friends that mm-hmm. are transgender and I love them to death and I have no problem with the transgender community. I do, however, feel like right now I don't know how to say this without just sounding so it. Awful, but I feel like it's becoming a little bit trendy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
To 100%. Do transgender.
Correct.
Well,
and that makes me sad a
Caitlin,
little.
Caitlin. Jenner came out.
Yes.
It's brought the microscope on it. It has been around for years. But since people, since she came out, therefore, society is looking at it. And of course, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon that like, oh, we love everybody, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So you agree that it is a little bit trendy. It has
definitely. I'm afraid that some people that are within the community that have identified as transgender have a tendency to jump. Okay. I should say this because this is my community. I'm worried that they may jump in too quickly instead of taking baby steps.
I agree with that 100%. I have a best friend that went and saw a psychiatrist for a year and discussed it and then medically got put on testosterone and actually transitioned. He just actually recently, very proud of you, Aiden. I want to give him a little shout out.
That's okay.
Got his top surgery and it was amazing and he cried and it was beautiful and it actually makes me super emotional because it's what he really wanted.
And that's part of the experience. And believe it or not.
It's beautiful. Right. But then I see some other people that I know that are just like buying testosterone off the street and are just doing and making these like flash videos of them like shooting testosterone in them. Yeah. And then a couple of months later, they're like, oh, I'm actually just a butch lesbian. So they stop taking it. And it's kind of like pushing.
Part of it is like, if you were a train wreck before, you're going to be a train wreck times two.
Because of the hormones.
So, well, I mean, really, you're going through a secondary puberty. Think about it. We all remember puberty. It was lots of fun. We all hated it. So when you start taking the hormones, you're going to go through puberty again, but it's going to be condensed and it's going to, you know, each person is an individual experience. But if you have issues beforehand, you're going to have issues times 10. So I would say, you need to talk to a therapist. You need to not go whole hog. I mean, I get that you're very unhappy with your body and you want to do whatever, but you really need to like find out what you want, talk to somebody, and then deal with a medical provider.
Yeah, and like work take the on appropriate steps.
Like, well, it's smart. How does Donald say it? It's huge.
Huge.
It's a huge change. And it impacts every aspect of your life. You know, for example, if you're transitioning, you're going from male to female and you are employed and you now have to show up at work and you have to literally look different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to maneuver every relationship you ever had at work. You have to redo all over again because you are now trying to establish yourself as someone who you are no longer. You're someone else.
And because that this within the past 2 years has been brought up and people are putting the microscope on it. So companies are like, oh, okay, we don't want to be, you know, almost like Title 19 or whatever it's called. I know that's the wrong term. But basically, they want to make sure that they're not discriminatory. So they're going to bend over backwards for you. But it's almost like I know some person that it was like their work is pushing them further faster than they are. Because they want to make sure that they're not going to be discriminating against them. So the person is like, but I just contacted you just to find out, like, what are the hurdles? And they're like, they like jumped on the bandwagon. They're like, yeah, we'll change your name. We'll do this. We'll do that. And she's like,
I'm not ready for all that.
I'm not ready. You're pushing me faster. And part of it, when you're so young and you're in your 18, 19, 20s, and you're questioning and you're figuring it out, when you have like your work being like, yeah, we'll do it for you, you know, when you're older, you're able to say no, stop, slow the wagon down, whereas when you're younger, you know, it's like,
I mean, I said the same. We've actually had this conversation before, and I had the same thing, like with parents, especially millennial parents, being so and don't get me wrong, I'm loving the fact that millennial parents are like, you be you, and you there. I want the term coming out to not be a term. I want you to be you from day one. That is my goal in life.
Parents that have like 4-year-olds that are transgender, but
parents at this point now are letting kids take hormones at a young age when they haven't fully developed, and that is personally what bothers me. I think that if any, I personally think that
they should go through puberty completely, because we don't know what that's going to do to your body.
But you, like, can put yourself on blockers. And blockers, so,
right, blockers, exactly. So Drea Richard tells about blockers.
So you don't actually go. So the thing that they talk about is if they're insistent, consistent, and persistent. That is what. So if you have a 4-year-old child that says, "I am a girl," and they're insistent, persistent, and consistent, then you're going to go, you're going to take them to the Yale Child Study Program. You're going to,
right.
If you are an intelligent, aware parent, you are going to realize that your child is stating this. But at the same time, there are some children that it's kind of like, kids are malleable. They're trying out things. So like my son loved getting his nails painted. I would do his toenails. I'd do his fingernails. It was not a big deal until he went to daycare. And he was probably 5 years old, and somebody started teasing him about it. And right. Then afterwards, he was like, "No, mom, take it off." Okay, that's fine. I know that my child is not transgender. I'm aware of that. If he was, it's not a big deal. But I'm aware of that. But as a parent, you know your child. If your child is insistent, persistent, and consistent, then you need to go and find somebody that you can talk to so that you can work on it.
Can I say, I just love the way you break things down.
Really?
Yeah, it's just...
Okay, thank you.
It's very educational the way that you speak. And I'm going to be 100% honest. I've been very confused about transgender, and it's not me not wanting to know. It's just the fact that I feel like I haven't had outlets, which is, again, why I used this as a perfect platform to ask you, because I feel like there's a lot of people in the gay community, me being such like a proud lesbian, because I'm a very proud lesbian.
She's proud.
I am very proud to be a lesbian.
She waves
anyone that
she takes
watch
it off like
it.
A flag.
If I could let it fly, I let it fly.
Do you want me to throw it in the dryer? Because I know you had a rough weekend.
I did. I mean, you met my girlfriend. Rough weekend.
Do you want me to throw it in the dryer? Because I can throw it on high, honey. You'll have
and it'll be shrink wrap that bitch.
Anyway.
But no, it is. And that's why I asked you, you know, because it is kind of confusing. And you know, I'm in a community that I love and I embrace. And, you know, we joke about it because I'm actually really good friends with Nick and I'm really good friends with Tommy. And we joke all the time that, like, I'm not a normal lesbian because all of my friends are gay men. And I actually act like a gay man myself. Yeah. So.
There's a lot of lesbians that I know that have a lot of gay men as friends, too.
I just personally think it's very common. I do have more gay man friends.
Here's what's very unique for you, though. It's very common for a butch lesbian to have a lot of gay men for friends. It's
really?
Very uncommon. It's very
the opposite.
Because
butch lesbians scare me. I'm just putting it out there.
I'm going to be honest. Okay. A lot of lesbians don't like gay
this
men.
This is the straight person that has just kind of figured out the rainbow in a way.
Honey, I'm still riding the
Let's
rainbow.
Just put it this way.
Would I'm a unicorn. Very Did masculine? You know that? I'm a unicorn.
Oh, you are? You would be a third?
Yeah. That's cool. So I don't know. So within my community, a unicorn is somebody because I'm a cisgendered woman that likes trans females.
Okay.
And that is like rare, I guess. That's what I've been told.
Oh my God, I'm rare. We were talking about that in the kitchen over cheese.
Yeah. So I'm rare. But I guess unicorn means something else in other
terminologies. So a unicorn, is basically like the third for a couple that's open. They're looking for somebody who is not tied to anybody, not looking for a relationship, but is both parties are interested in this one person.
I could do that.
Yeah. So a unicorn is technically basically a sexual.
I thought that it was because I had a horn and I had a rainbow hair.
No, honey.
You do got some great hair, though,
honey,
mama.
You're a unicorn because you are probably people are looking at you as something like couples probably look at you like, oh, I could be down with that, and then the transgender female's like, oh, I could be down with that too. So you would be that third in the relationship.
Oh, okay.
I think we left Rainbow Bright back in the 80s somewhere.
Oh my God, I love Rainbow Bright.
Remember that? And Jem and the holograms?
Oh my God, shut and the your Smurfs. Dirty little whore mouth. I loved Rainbow Bright.
So
love
anyway,
that bitch.
I'm sorry. I have a big announcement. I need to say this.
Okay.
I have a big announcement. So we all know that I have issues with Steve's.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay.
So first I'm going to start off with a story.
It's not just Steve. It's Steven, Stefan, Stefania. Maybe.
Even my unicorn would be Stephanie or Stefania.
Even your friends.
I was at work the other day, and this beautiful man,
gorgeous,
came, was like trying to get into the building.
And it was like rainbows coming out of the sky.
And I'm standing outside. I'm like, okay, what is this guy doing? So I eventually walk over to him. I'm like, can I help you? What are you looking for? He's like, oh, I need to get to the costume shop. I was like, oh, okay. Well, what are you here for? He tells me what he's here for. I was like, okay, great. You can go up to the costume shop this way. I'll show you. By the way, my name is Nick. And he was like, I'm Steve. And I was like, no.
He's like, goodbye.
So I literally had to walk away, and my assistant was standing behind me, and literally his face was like, oh no.
But because of course, you know, the kid was gorgeous, and now, you know, Nick is like, oh my god, this could be my husband.
That being said, I'm dating somebody who has a name that's not even remotely close to Steve.
Okay.
What makes me laugh is Nick literally just told me earlier, hey, did I tell you about the new guy that I'm dating? I was like, is his name Steve? Like, that was literally the first, not baby, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy. No, is his name Steve? Like, I was just waiting to find out if it was like Steve spelled with like a PH, like something stupid and ridiculous. Two F's.
No, but it's, I'm sorry. It's just, he just attracts people that are named Steve.
I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's true.
And really? Before we keep going, because I know that we're going to cover so much, I just want to say, again, Jake, thank you for sending in that email and sending us on a fantastic trajectory of topics. And
I was going to say, I feel like we went...
We really did. But
I just wanted to make sure that I wrap it up and say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sending that email. Because, like I said before,
You'll always be my cisgender lover.
Yes.
Thank you for helping me learn the term cisgender, Jake. I applaud and appreciate you for that. Thank you.
See? You made someone on our show learn something today.
Does Jake get claps?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Jake. Okay, so anyway, we were talking about...
We were talking about me dating somebody, yes. But we're over that conversation. Well, I'm not going to drop any names at this point in my life.
Okay, so... J.K. Rowling has been very busy in the news.
Oh, well, she's my girl.
On Twitter.
Well, actually, no, this was actually really cool. So J.K. Rowling, you know how Dumbledore is technically gay, right?
Because mm-hmm. he's actually lovers with, what's the evil guy in the new movie?
Grindelwald,
yes. Thank you.
But we don't know that for sure yet.
You're looking at us like, what?
Yeah.
Did you see the new movie?
No, my daughter
Fantastic
did.
Beast?
No, she did. I did not.
Well, the wizard, the bad wizard in that movie was actually Dumbledore's lover.
That's speculated. We don't know.
So it goes so fucking speculated.
Before 70 years before.
Before right. Harry yes. Potter.
Yeah. And we don't know. That's speculated. We don't know.
A book? Just
yeah,
wondering.
Okay. So the book that he's writing, that manual, actually the book that they're learning from in school, yeah. Harry Potter and His Friends, is the book that this man wrote based on his beast.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway.
Cocktail's delicious, by the way.
Thank you.
I think you made your own cocktail this time. So somebody tweeted at J.K. Rowling, and she—I don't know if you've noticed. She's been actually pretty actively tweeting about her political stance.
She's been totally on it,
shutting Trump down.
Oh yeah,
she is the Trump of the good people.
She's like, I'm like, don't tweet an author that is like. Brilliant. Like, she's going to be like, in four words,
like, bitch,
ruin your presidency.
You.
Yeah, like, four
like,
words.
I just want
done.
Her to write Trump. I will throat punch that bitch. Like, I want her to write something like fantastic.
She should just be like, at real Donald Trump, expelliarmus.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. She's going to pick one of the best words out of her entire book and just throw it at him. He's going to be like,
he'll like retweet and try to like spell it, and he'll spell it incorrectly, and like my life will just be made.
No, he's gonna think that it's completely something different. He's gonna be like, oh, that's so huge.
This bitch can't even spell correctly.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so off topic, on topic. So somebody tweeted at her and said, "Thank you so much for writing Harry Potter. I wonder why you said that Dumbledore is gay because I can't see him that way." Her response was perfect. She basically just tweeted back at this person and said, maybe because gay people just look like people.
Mm. Wow. Yes.
Isn't that perfect?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It needed nothing more, nothing less.
I
didn't
hear about that.
I feel so uneducated today. Like, I pride myself on being like so in it. I gotta get off the Kristen Stewart.
No, she's
Trump. She's great. And
it's not the first time that she's done it, because let me tell you, she does a lot, a lot. She does a lot.
Yeah, but
she tweets a lot.
That's fantastic.
Fan fucking tastic.
I feel like that is the best, like, drop mic rebuttal. Like, gay people just look like people. Yeah, like, and that's fantastic.
And there was, you know, and they went on to tweet back and forth a little bit, and it wasn't. There was no aggression or anything. The person literally tweeted her back in a very positive light. Then she tweeted that person back in a positive light. So it was a good conversation. She wasn't attacking her in any way. She was just, this person was literally just saying, I just don't see this character like that. And I think what's beautiful about that is she really just gave a voice to what we've all been fucking trying to say. I'm no different than you. I'm no different than you. The only difference that you don't need to know about happens in my bedroom or the kitchen floor or the laundry room or wherever the fuck it happens, but you don't need to see it.
Or at the computer with like a bottle of lube or, you know.
Like,
I put it away.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
Not for me. Especially when I'm like a fucking waterfall.
Especially.
I agree.
Oh my God. I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
A little bit, honey. I saw that come
but
out.
That's so true.
Do you remember that guy?
I don't.
He was coming down the stairs at Partners at the bar that we work at, and he got to the bottom of the stairs, and he saw the bathroom door, which is probably about 15 feet in front of him, and he started running for it, but then he just went boom, and it just came straight out.
It was like The Exorcist
in the air.
That other people vomiting makes me vomit.
So he stops terrible. Right. So he stops in midair. He's looking around like, oh shit, I can't believe that happened, right? And then all of a sudden the vomit just falls. But listen, it projected like right in a line, in a beeline for the door. He completely missed the door.
Oh,
and then there was another one that was aiming, like, he managed to get into the bathroom but could not make it to the stall, so he just threw up in the sink.
Repainted the walls. Oh, he's that's just so terrible.
You know what blows my mind at Partners? And correct me if I'm wrong
bathrooms?
Here.
Bathrooms? Okay.
Well, that's the upstairs bathroom, you can't even really close the doors.
No, you can't.
No.
Do you know what makes me mad about the upstairs bathroom? I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
But the fact, and I am not like
the mirror?
That short.
The
exactly.
Mirror?
Yes.
The mirror?
That is so frustrating to me because, yes, I can see I am this that much. Girl.
Would you
that
like me
needs
to get you a step stool?
It ain't even about that.
All right. Can I just
it
say
is
this?
Just really, I am 5'5", so I am average height. I'm average height, and on a
she's
good
above
day,
average everywhere else,
honey.
Hello.
You're practically like what's Paul? What do I call Paul all the time?
Short man.
No,
like he's
Paulina.
I call him
a
hobbit.
He's a little shit. Guy. But it's no, that toe. Mirror literally like right covers. Here. I get to see the top of my party pony, and that's about it. And it makes me really upset.
And then you can't sit in the stall because your knees like pop
and
up.
And you
in
have
the
to
door.
Hold the door because there's absolutely no locks. And in the corner, there's just always like 45 people hanging out. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing. I know that there's like.
So I want to know what the men's bathroom is like. Do you have
oh,
more room?
In there, sweetheart? That's disgusting too.
Literally, the men's bathroom upstairs, there is a stall. And a toilet, there is no
door whatsoever.
Door, nothing.
I like you, the way
and
you
can
stall.
I tell you, I have
urinal.
Seen, I have walked in and seen
people pooping.
Pooping.
What?
I'm like, guys.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Do it at home.
Oh.
So
anyway, all right.
Okay,
so,
no, but I want to know downstairs. Okay, so when you go into the women's, like, it's so hysterical. I had these women show up and they were waiting outside. And so you have the mirror in the little bathroom, and then you have that huge stall that's freezing cold.
Oh, it's no better in the men's room upstairs.
There's no insulation.
Okay, so can I just say this? We work
sorry,
there.
Sorry, Dave.
Yes. Yeah,
so
I love you, Dave.
Let's move on.
I did recently bang a girl.
Love Dave.
In the bathroom.
Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you don't know, Sarah Taryn actually works at Partners Cafe as well.
I do.
So she is a bartender, so she can sit at our table.
I know. Since the last time that I've been on the show, I am now 100% enveloped in this group, and I do work at Partners. And can I just discuss?
So do I.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so Heather also works. Well, Heather promotes shows, and well, not shows. She promotes an evening of amazing ladies that come here or come to the bar and just have a fantastic time. Mm-hmm.
Organizes events.
Preferably is not Diva the Social. Word I want to use.
I love the name.
What
of
I wanted to say was, it is actually my favorite night to work.
Well, of course it is, because they all love you.
So I freaking love them.
So let me just say, so I was on a date with this person that I'm seeing. Whose name is not Steve. But we'll just call him Steve. Why don't we just call him Steve? Steve.
He should be like Steve 2.0.
He liked the Gay Talk page.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
of course.
But anyway, so I show up. I was like, he's, I would say, different from me in the sense that he doesn't go out the way I go out. And
who goes out the way you go out?
Not a lot of people.
Nobody.
But
nobody. Sarah puts out.
But so after dinner on Saturday night, we went to Partners, and it was a Diva Social at Partners, and he was like, what's going on? There's like a lot of transgender people here. I'm like, this is a gay bar, but this is just the Diva Social night. That was his first time at Partners. He was just like, can we just finish this and go? I was like, sure, no problem.
I guess if you think it's going to be a totally gay bar, it's a little different that night.
Definitely different, but it was just so funny. He was just like, how about we one and go. I was like, yeah, that's fine. We can do that tonight.
I need to check out the Diva Social because I haven't. Not for that. I work a lot, but
yeah, she does.
I really do. I do. I work a lot, yeah,
but I will tell you,
I do want to check it. I've actually heard beautiful things about it. I was really excited when Tommy told me the other night that you were going to be guest hosting here with us. I was super excited because I had like that transgender question chilling in my belt. Okay. Yep. So I was excited about that. But I've also heard beautiful things about what you've done.
Oh, awesome.
And I think that any chance for the community to have like a positive outlet, mm-hmm. which I feel like Partners is.
Yes, I agree.
It really is just such like a positive little home, even though we're all batshit crazy that fucking work there. But we're a little family, and I love that.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, no,
baby,
honey.
I don't. I literally brought my girlfriend to meet everyone for the first time Friday night, and here's Tommy.
I don't know what the hell got into me that night. I was in a rare form.
Tommy, we're walking down the streets. This bitch is just singing on the top of his lungs and dancing. And when I tell you that my girlfriend turned around to me and she was like, that Tommy, I like him. She was loved him, but it is. Partners is a little family. And when I first moved back here a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, I met these crazy bunch of psychopaths. And you're like my little family. And I love that Partners was like that outlet. Like that's where I met Paul Anthony and who I live with and drives me fucking insane. Mm-hmm. But I love him more than anything in the world. But he introduced me to these beautiful people. And,
well, you love his butthole first. Everything else comes second.
I don't have a choice.
What's crazy? Yeah,
exactly.
I don't have a choice.
What's crazy to me is when I started a partner. So I've been there for 4 years now, which blows my mind.
Wow.
And when I started there, the bartenders, it wasn't very family-like. We weren't all that close. And then all of a sudden, you know, over the first year that I was there, we started to hang out more and get closer. And our boss was like, what the fuck? Because I feel like he feels like we team up against him now. But like, now we're just like, we are a family. And Dave has kind of embraced it in weird, positive way.
He fucking hates it in the best way. Like, he loves to hate it.
Yeah. He's like, what do you mean you're covering somebody's shift? I didn't know about that. We talk all the time.
My favorite is the group chat, the bartending group chat. We were talking about this the other night. Excuse me. You'll wake up in the morning and there's 197 text messages and you literally like, okay, who died? Who killed someone?
Paul sending memes and gifts.
It's the craziest, best family I could have ever asked for. Yeah, I'm amazing. So happy to be part of it. And it's beautiful that everybody at this table in some way, shape or form is part of Partners. I think that's another great thing about this community.
Bernard, Dave and Bernard are just amazing.
They really are.
They are. Dave is the biggest, best bitch I've ever met.
I have had a lot of bosses, and I can tell you that Dave will probably give you the shirt off his back. Mm-hmm. Don't ever cross him, though.
No.
Do right by David. Oh, David will, but I love him dearly. But never cross him, but he will give you the shirt off his back. You work with him, he'll work with you. He's a great mm-hmm. boss to work for. I have been a customer of Partners for over 25 years. And I have been employed at Partners for about 5 years. And it has been equally rewarding because every time I go to Partners, I see the same faces. And those faces never change. They're just as genuine as they were 20
Or they're just as flat on the bar, you know? Just sleeping on the bar.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know.
Dave came up to me. Hold on. The other day, literally, somebody came into the bar, ordered a beer. I didn't serve him. Somebody else served him. And got halfway through the beer. Fell asleep on the bar. Dave came up to me and was like, he's cut off. I was like, oh, you think so? you think he's cut off? I don't know.
Saturday night, Dave comes. So I've been doing this now for a year and a half now. And so finally, like, he's getting warmer with me and stuff like that. So he comes up to me and he's like, Heather, you've got to come upstairs. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And I'm like, okay, why? And I'm thinking, oh my God. Why is he so, you know, because you know how he gets.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to come.
Does he call you Chico?
No.
Oh, that's, I guess.
Just
that's,
the bartender.
Does he call you Chico?
No, he usually calls me something way more flattering, like bitch.
No, he actually calls me by my name. I must be special.
Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah, he calls all of us Chico. And then when he says Chico, we all turn around and say, what?
It's so true.
It's the best thing.
No, so he's like, Heather, you have to come up. And I'm like, okay, why? So I come up and you know where they have that little alcove?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By the dance floor. And one of my girls had passed out. And he's like, oh, she closed her legs.
Like, so I'm assuming they weren't closed before when he came down
so
to get you.
He's like, I had to show you because her legs were wide open. And I was like,
I love that man. I fucking love that man.
No, but the thing is, awesome. I'm like, he reminds me of this like mischievous little boy in a way, you know?
He's like Dennis the Menace grew up.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so he was like,
oh my God, that's like perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to start calling him Dennis from now on.
No, but he was like, I'm like, okay, do you want me to do something? He's like, no. I just wanted to show you so you could see.
I just needed proof.
He's great, though.
That's how David... One night, I was there on a date. This was like 6 or 7 months ago. And Paul was bartending. And there was a guy who was watching she porn. And he was showing it to me. And he grabbed my leg. And I turned around to the girl I was on the date with. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this dude just grabbed my leg. And she didn't believe me. She thought I was lying.
Oh.
And Dave was like, no, I saw it. I saw him touch her. I saw it. And then all of a sudden, he starts jerking off next to me. And I'm like, just a Monday night at Partners. There were four of us there. What?
Oh, my God. I can't.
It was hysterical. And Dave was just like, I saw it. Wow.
When I tell you, you either love Dave or hate him. Most people love him because he's just crazy.
He's awesome.
It ebbs and flows for me.
Well, y'all have a love-hate relationship.
We really do.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah.
So listen, I think that we should probably start putting a rubber on this because we're about an hour and a half into the episode.
Oh, wait a second.
But go ahead.
Okay. Since we were talking about Partners and David and everything like that, can I plug my next Diva Social?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we were going to get there at some point. We're going to say, okay, plug yourself, but do it now.
Okay, because March 11th is my birthday, and I am going to be a ripe 38.
Yes, queen.
Yeah. Anyway.
Really, really 32, but go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's going to be my birthday party, and so I want everybody to come. Nick.
Please say attend.
Please. Oh, come. Got it.
Yeah,
hi.
Okay. Oh, no, you can come. You can attend.
If you say come, you're going to be walking out of that bar with a lot of gel all over yourself.
Shit's going to get sticky. I'm excited.
She's really going to figure out what pansexual means.
Okay. No, it's going to be my birthday. It's my birthday, and I can cry if I want to. But anyway, so it's going to be my birthday party, and I have a DJ coming. My good friend Adriana Moretti is going to be doing the DJing.
She's coming from Long Island.
Did you post? Did someone post pictures of her DJing at an event?
Yeah, first
with
that event.
Big, like, and the headset and her computer. Yeah. I love her. She's fabulous.
No, and she's awesome. Okay, like with her mixes, and she's already getting it. And so part of the girls are going to be happy because, you know, my demographic is rather large. I got people that are like 65 down to 20. So the music and stuff. So it's going to be like fun 80s, 90s.
Oh my God.
And today. 80s.
Can you throw welcome some disco in there? Maybe a couple of songs from Donna Summer.
Of course we're going to have Donna Summer.
I'm a disco queen.
Oh my God. We're going to have. Hello.
The biggest announcement though is Cher herself will be there.
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to bring her?
Oh. Wait, I thought you. Oh, I have. Yeah. I'll email her.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Tell her I said hi. Missed her at the last barbecue.
Sorry.
That was my...
So March 11th.
March 11th.
The Diva Social is also going to be featuring, Heather's birthday. So if you are locally, either in Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts.
Rhode Island.
Long Island.
Everybody, Albany. I know girls from Albany come.
Yeah, New York, Pennsylvania.
I get everybody all the way from like Albany, New Hampshire, Vermont, Algonquin. Boston, all the way down to Rhode Island. I get it. It's a huge, like,
girl.
Swap.
You are
even if you're in Martha's
nationally
Vineyard,
nationally known.
Yes,
I don't know about you nationally, but we're getting there.
We'll get you there.
The event gets bigger and bigger every time.
That's fantastic.
So,
I love it.
Great.
I'm definitely
so
gonna have to check
make sure
it out.
That you come out to Diva Social March 11th. And like I said, and like we've been advocating, everyone is welcome.
Everybody.
To these events.
It doesn't matter. Straight. Lady Gaga?
No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgender life. We're on the right track, baby. I was born as a man.
Yes, queen.
That Tito's just kicked in.
Sure did. All right, so we have some announcements before we go. So I just want to remind everyone, we are on Patreon, and you can help us on the show by contributing to our success. And using this service, our listeners can actually help support the show with a donation. A monthly donation with as little as a dollar would actually help us go a long way. And basically how it works is you go and sign up and you tell them how much you want to pledge every month, and then they just automatically take it. So if you feel the need to help, please do so, and we're more than appreciative.
ACLU, HRC, and Gay Talk 2.0.
Yes, please.
All right, so our 50th episode is coming out. So next week, February 13th, it's going to be amazing. Chris will be back from Germany, and we're going to record live at Partners. We're also going to have Michael Buckley with us and Dave Hartman. So it's going to be, like I said earlier, a gaggle of gays located at 365 Crown Street, New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay, well, absolutely. And I do have to let everybody know. So we're going to do a cocktail hour at 7 p.m. So we'll have a cocktail hour from 7 to 8. And then we're going to start recording at 8. It'll go through about 9, possibly 9:30. And then after, we're going to be doing a $100 cash raffle. So anyone who attends the show will get an entry to possibly win $100 cash.
He won't let me enter.
No, employees at Partners Cafe cannot enter.
Does that mean that I can enter?
You're not an employee. Well, technically. But, you know.
So that means I'm out?
Unfortunately, employees cannot enter.
Fuck.
So we don't want to give our listeners or anyone that does attend the idea that it may be rigged. So to be fair, none of us can enter. But I will say this. I've gotten permission from the owner of the bar to let all of you know that we are going to be having super specials with cocktails and martinis. All martinis and cocktails made by Belvedere Vodka are going to be $5.
Oh my God. That's fantastic.
That is amazing. So we're going to have Dave's super specials. There's some treats that are going to be available for everyone that attends. I'm super excited because Dave has, agreed to give us all that stuff.
So do you think Dave will watch my children?
Oh, I don't know. Well, Dave is going to be away, but,
don't worry. I will find you a babysitter, Heather. I know quite a few high schoolers. My girlfriend is 22.
Awesome. I'm serious. I'm like,
creepy. That just got creepy. I know quite a few high schoolers. My girlfriend's 22.
I just like to joke on the fact that she's, that was creepy.
No, that got creepy real quick.
Can we edit that part?
No.
Great. So now I just look creepy. Thank you.
No, that's okay. No, you're actually one of the loveliest persons that we know. So.
Oh,
I love when he lies to me.
Circumvents all that creepiness. But no, seriously. So, you know, we're going to have a lot of specials, a lot of amazing things. So make sure that you come check us out. We're super excited. I cannot wait. And I want to thank our guest co-host, Heather Lee, thank you so much, and Sarah Taran for joining us today as our guest co-host. We love having you both on the show. We're super excited that you sat here with us for an hour and a half and talked all that good stuff. So now I would like to give you the opportunity to plug yourselves if you want to. I mean, are you doing anything on social media?
These days, no.
Okay. But you can follow her on Snapchat.
I do. I've gotten up. I know it is pretty insane. I've gotten up in the thousands now, so I'm pretty excited about that. I've got a.
What is your Snapchat? Good,
at Sarah Taran. Oh my God! I googled this the other day. Actually, fun fact: I am the only Sarah Taran on social media. Period.
Oh,
there is.
You're lucky.
No, there's nobody out there with the same name as me.
There was a Nick Buzzett.
There was.
So can you spell your name for them?
Absolutely. It's at for everything. It's Sarah Taran. It's SERATAREN. And yeah, so I'm just climbing the social media fun charts.
So look her up. Make sure that you subscribe to all her funness. There's a lot of great stuff.
She's going to get that little blue check mark soon.
Yeah. Hello. That's like life goals. Life goals. I have that blue check. I want to be verified so bad.
I just got a text message from the guy that I'm seeing. It's a new, you know how sour cream now comes in a squeeze bottle?
Yeah.
It literally was a picture of the sour cream squeeze bottle saying, thinking of you. Anyway, do you have something you want to tell us, Heather?
Fucking keeper.
Are you trying to say something about my pansexuality?
I don't know.
He's a keeper.
Adderall.
Keeper.
Squirrel. So I have no idea about social media. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm on Instagram.
We'll help you.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. You follow me? I don't understand Instagram.
I do.
I'm having problems with it, but that's okay.
Heather actually has a page on our website, and so does Sarah Taran, and all of their social media. Well, the majority of the stuff that we knew at the time when they were on the show is there. So if there's anything new, we'll make sure to update that for them. So you can just click on the links right on our webpage, which is www.gaytalk20.com.
And we're going to say that 5 more times before we close it out.
So that way, you know, you can actually access them and you know, send them messages if you like what you heard today and you want to hear a little bit more about, you know, pansexuality, or you know, if you want to ask Sarah Taran questions about
her 22-year-old cisgenderness
and all that good stuff,
high schooler. So anyway, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com. First time under show and episodes. It's also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on social media: Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at GayTalk20. Email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com.
And you can also contact us by visiting our website. Here you can leave us a message and or a suggestion. You can submit a question for the cast and or an individual host. You can also leave us a question via voice message for the cast to answer on the show by calling 334-GAY-TALK. Again, that number is 334-429-8255. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in today. That is our show. Thank you, and you guys have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.